I'm talking to Michael O'Reilly. You're from Swanland Bar. Yeah. Swanland Bar, tell me about that place. What kind of population and what kind of a place is it? Could you describe it to
well,
me?
Well, Swanland Bar is a small village, and at one time it had up to 20 businesses in it, and now it's gone down to, at the minute, just one pub left. We're hoping that another pub will open again. It's after closing there recently. And a filling station and shop, post office and butcher shop and small shop as well. Good industry, priors, fruit and veg, Melanophy mushrooms. There's Leighton's bus business and haulage business. And a few small bits and pieces going on, but still we're lacking in big any industry. It's gone.
What's the
very quiet.
The community life there?
The community, good, close community, good football club and development association. There's probably as good a community as any small village, maybe better in some ways.
Yeah.
School well developed and good hall committee, and it has a lot going for it in that regard.
And tell me then, your own, are you from a farming background there?
We're from a farming background, and then we need to forestry contracting business, and then we developed a shop and filling station in the village. And we still do the forestry and just part-time farming.
Mm.
Of course, being on the border, it's now with the problem with Brexit looming. So we're back to a stage where it's you're wondering what to do next, or there's that fear.
Well, you were born in 1961, so like you grew up in the Troubles, right? You know, kind of since you were a child, you were listening to stories about bombs and, you know, people being killed. And you were quite near where all the trouble was going on. So
my first memory of the trouble would be to hear of a bomb in Derry. I'd say I would have been around maybe 4 year old. And to hear about the bombs in Derry and Belfast and the trouble going on now at my first. And then as we went to school, there's always when the checkpoints came, there's always the talk about the soldiers coming in and the soldiers being on the roads. And as we started then, the next big memory would be when we started out to drive a car. If you're going up and down the road through the checkpoint, you are maybe intimidated by the British soldiers there, stopping you and asking your name, search the car. If you had any family that had any maybe Republican background, or they thought they had that name, they were out and the car was searched. And it seemed a bit ridiculous, because if you wanted to do an or bring an across the border, you had miles of fields and land to bring it.
Okay.
The checkpoint was only, I thought, there in kind of there in a way to annoy the people in some cases.
I see.
You know, because naturally enough, if you're going to carry something across a border, you're going daylight where you could be where you can see clearly for miles. But this was going on, they were sitting there, and of course they were under threat as well, so they were afraid. And then that was a lot of hassle for anyone doing work. We used to do work both sides of the border, and there could be people working from the north and the south, and you're held up. And then at one stage there was no petrol in Swanland Bar, because the petrol was cheaper in the north, and you went down for the fuel, and when you went down and back up, you'd sit at a checkpoint maybe an hour going down and an hour coming back up. And I remember one particular incident where there was the full car load of us were coming from working in a forestry up, and as far as I know it was Leitrim, and we said we'd go down and get our petrol and stuff for the next day down to, it was Podgy Dunne's petrol station across the border. And of course I asked everyone their names, and then they come to some fella that had a name that sounded to them to be maybe of a Republican background, and as soon as he gave his name, everybody out of the car. You could be still out on the road being searched and questioned and all, an hour later.
Mm.
And
My goodness.
That was a bit annoying, all right.
And so that kind of harassment and... did that become the norm? I mean, you lived with that every day and...
It became the norm, you got used to it, and people, they'd be wondering, would they go down or would they not? I remember one particular incident where my brother, who was married to a girl from the north, and he was living in Kinnaly, and we're having a christening party in Swanland Bar, and there was something forgotten. They couldn't go back down for that. And in some cases, you had to walk across an unimproved road, and some people used to have a car both sides of the border, one sitting the northern side and one the southern side, or they'd walk across the border. But then for a while, we used to take a notion that you'd open some of these border roads, you know, make a fixture of a temporary opening. All the roads are blocked except the main road, you see, all the wee by roads. And there'd be a day organised that you'd get out with tractors and maybe old bars was cut to make bridges across, and we opened the road and there's a day out, and then there's a fundraiser that evening in Swanland Bar for in the Welcome Inn, which was a thriving business at the time. And there was a fundraiser that night to raise money for opening this road.
Isn't that amazing?
But of course it suited everybody, and it was classed as a Republican effort, but it was in a way. But then again, it was everybody who was involved, and it'd be no time again. This road could be open for 3 or 4 months at a time, and then of course the soldiers would come back and the helicopter would be up in the air and they'd be putting barriers across it again, so it was blocked again. So their victory that time. So then of course it'd be planned. There was a bit of, in one way, a bit of fun in that, getting the roads open too, in one way. But
that's amazing. And
that's
so,
only part of the stories that went on. There's all this different...
Yeah. And so you're very close to the border there, and in a way, are you?
Well, Swanland Bar, it'd be just a quarter of a mile from the border.
I know, yeah. So is your farm then bordering on the border?
No, it wouldn't be. Well, it was not at the time, no.
Yeah, okay. So what happened in your little village that shocked the community?
Well, the memories when I was at school, there would have been one memory: the school was bombed. We had to go to school in the hall. And another memory would be the chapel was bombed. So we had to go to mass in the hall then for a time till there was a new chapel built. And all that, when you think back on it, it was. I don't think people would stand for the like of it anymore to allow all this to happen. And there was very little was done about it. You know, we seemed to be helpless. And then there was a bomb in the main street. There's a few different incidents went on, the same as every other border village. Excuse me. And of course, all the big thing was, people were working in the forestry industry at the time, and traffic waiting at the border. I know the customs was there, they'd hold up at the customs, all right, but then you could be waiting at the border checkpoint, and by the time you get the squad over the head of the hold up at the border checkpoint, you could miss the customs. The customs could be gone home, and it was the next morning before they're back.
Yeah.
So it was a terrible inconvenience. It would cost, in monetary terms, it cost thousands. I seen often there, we were in the contract business, and there could be people sitting in vans for, if you count one man sitting for a half an hour every day, it means a lot in a week's work, a month's work. What does it mean in a year's work?
Of course.
Like, it costs, yeah. And it still has affected the areas.
And did you ever think about doing anything, you know, yourself?
Well, that time, what people done, like I said before, opening the roads, it was great when you had the road open for a while, you were able to drive up and down freely for a time. And that time, you just went on with your work. There was, every one of those people was sympathising with the troubles and all that, but you had to be careful. everybody had to be careful. There's always a fear going across the border. There's people that wouldn't cross the border. I know of people would have went to Loch Derg from our town, and you know how long a journey that is round through Glenjevlin, Manor Hamilton, Kinlaw into Donegal,
right.
Where it's Loch Derg is only down the road really from Enniskillen.
Yeah.
And they were afraid to, even we used to go to the dances in Glenfarne, just out in Glenfarne, and you could go across land to it, or you could go down through Black Lion, but then that meant you would go down through the checkpoint. You had a checkpoint at Black Lion. You had the first checkpoint in Swadlin Bar, and then you go back through again at Black Lion. So then the soldiers would be giving you abuse over this, what was taking you down this road at all, you know.
Did you get to know them, the border guards?
Some of them would have been okay. Some of them, then there's some regiments there that would be very hostile towards most of the people.
Were they the B specials, or were they any particular, were they the RUC?
Well, the British soldiers was on the border all the time, and there was some, I remember particularly one Scottish regiment, and they were, I'd safely say, dangerous enough. They'd be singling it out, and they'd be trying to provoke you. And see, some people, even though they might have not give them their names clearly, and that went on, you know, where young lads mightn't give their names, and they'd take a dislike to them. But then, on the roads that time, the UDR used to be out, and police could be along the road at different stages, in different places on the road. You could just drive around a corner, and there you were stopped. But yet, the people still kept crossing the border. Like Swadlin Bar was the pubs weren't open in the north on a Sunday, and a lot of people came from Kinnaly area across the Swanlin Bar, and they still tolerated it going over and back the border. But you always had to be careful. It was such an inconvenience.
Of course, you were kind of searched each time, but I'm sure they get to know you, though.
They get to know you. Some people would be allowed to go on, but anyone that give them any bit of didn't give their name in time, or was any bit hostile towards them, they got punished for that. But then, as well as that, the other people maybe would have, as we all know, there's different families, has maybe a Republican background, and maybe it's only the name, and they will always hit on them, and they'd know in the area because they'd be told by other people, I suppose, and they'd feel that they were a threat to them. And like, you can imagine if you're hardly going to be driving up and down through a checkpoint carrying anything that was going to be a threat. But still, they used this I often thought they used it to annoy. They're more annoying nor anything else, because as far as security, I always thought in my mind, as far as security was concerned, it was no good, because you had miles and miles of open land, and you could do what you wanted across fields in daytime or night or whatever. So I thought that the checkpoints in a way was ridiculous in one way, but they were still there and inconvenienced anyone trying to do anything with industry or art, as I said before, in a big way.
And being in the farming business, when your father being in the farming business, was there a kind of a part of his income might have been getting cattle up to the north, and you know, kind of, it must have been a fairly easy thing to do.
I wouldn't
be
able to talk about that so much, but there would be older people. Now, there used to be where there was some levy on the cattle crossing the border for years, and I'm not sure on that, but somebody else might be able to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Where there was actually pens at the border where they put the cattle in, and there was a subsidy. So there was that going on, all right. There was a difference in the subsidies in the south and the north, and then there were importing cattle. I'm not 100% sure what way that went, but somebody older than me or somebody who's on the border involved more with cattle could talk about that.
And did you see yourself, I know you were in the south, if you like, but did you see them and us? Like, did you see, from the moment you crossed over the border, you were in a different country. Was that something that was something that you...
Well, we were kind of a mind to not recognise the border as much, but then it was there, and there was, like, my own mother came from Northern Ireland, and a lot of people, you see, there was people, Swanland Bar and Kinnaly is the one parish, the village of Swanland Bar is Kinnaly, in Kinnaly Parish, so it's all the same parish, so the parochial house was in Swanland Bar, and the curate's house was in Kinnaly at the time.
And Kinnaly is in the north.
In the north, so... It's all the same parish, so everybody is connected, and a lot of people married as well from the north, living in the south. And
yeah, so you didn't see it then as a kind of a different country there.
No, not really. I know different jurisdictions where the laws were different in the north. Some people, the schooling was different and all that, but.
Yeah, but even when you cross, you know, you recognise the signage, the miles, the whole structure. Physically, it looks like a different place, does it?
Well, at one time, we thought, regarding roads and all, the roads is all very, very well done. There's a lot of money pumped into Northern Ireland back in the 80s and that, and the roads were bad here. But... it was coming money from England, of course.
Yeah.
And we used to be of the opinion that they had everything down there, that grants for everything and everything was good. But I could see that later on, now it seems to be the roads become as good here. There's a lot of money spent here, European money, of course.
It's kind of turning the
back now to this Brexit thing. We don't know where we're at there on that exactly.
Okay, and even the annoyance with phones. I know when you're... In one side, it's a different number to what it is in the other side.
And it's only down the road. I remember sometimes, for some reason, if you're ringing America, a lot of people had family in America, there was a phone box at Cassidy's Cross, that's just across the border. And there could be two or three people sitting in cars waiting to make phone calls to phone America. It was cheaper to phone America from the north. And maybe, I suppose, if you have a phone in England as well. So you'd have to go down there at night to make a phone call to America.
That's funny, yeah. Mm. And it all queue up outside the
telephone. There could be two or three cars sitting waiting at the phone box to make a phone call to other people in America.
Yeah.
I remember that all right going on.
And the as the years kind of went on, then did the village... feel, you know, the people in the village that you know, were affected, because they must have been sympathetic towards the IRA. They saw them as being maybe helping us to, or taking
time,
our side, maybe.
For instance, now, the time of the hunger strike, I remember being at Mass in the Chapel Square in Swanland Bar. There was Mass for the hunger strikers, and of course everybody was sympathetic towards the Troubles, because even though somebody wasn't Republican minded at the time, to be stopped and harassed by the British soldiers, it annoyed the people. So everybody became, and even all the, as we've seen when the time of the Bloody Sunday, sure, a lot of people that was maybe not fully Republicans, but maybe sympathisers, to be all become more Republicanised, if you know what I mean. So there would have been a lot of Republicans around, so on the bar, around all these border areas.
Any member of your family involved?
Well, not so much. We would have been sympathisers, all right. We would have been sympathisers.
Coming from a Fianna Fáil background, yeah. Probably.
But then there would be people from all backgrounds would have been sympathisers and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sinn Féin people would have been as we know, the Republicans, and they would be more opposed to the, or being seen to be more opposed to the British soldiers on the border and that. But that's not to say that everybody would have been.
Yeah.
I think there was only the one road. You see, there was only the one, the main road was the only road that was open. And in Ballyconnell, the road had been closed as well back years ago. And I remember hearing the people from Ballyconnell going and opening the road. They had closed that road going from Derrylin to Ballyconnell. As far as I know now, I'm standing to be corrected, but as far as I know, that road was closed as well. And the community, all people from the community, got out and made sure that road was kept open. But the one in Swadland Bar, there was the one main road, that's the only one that was open, all the bay roads was closed.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling if it was now, people wouldn't allow that to happen. People would be more inclined to get out and protest against it. But I had always this feeling people were afraid to go out because if they went out and started
protesting
against roads, people are saying, ah, sure, they are Republicans and they're maybe out to cause trouble. But most of the community now, whether regardless of what their political persuasions was, would have been all sympathetic and they would be all totally against, as far as I know, against having the British soldiers on the border.
I know. And the Protestant community, that were there many of them in your area?
There would be a lot of Protestants. Well, I would have worked with Protestants and...
did you?
There would have been... Yes. We would have worked for Ballycas and there would have been... they would have been in the minority and there would have been always that bit of a standoff. But what I seen, the people that's out working, let it be Catholic or Protestant, they were all doing the same thing, they're focused on their work. But unfortunately, I suppose, the same as any conflict with all those people in the background, that can be hostile just for the sake of being hostile, maybe.
Yeah.
But I would have worked with Ballycas, and they would have bought a lot of timber in the south, and the timber was going over and back across the border, and those people from the north buying timber in the south, and there were a lot of Protestants and Catholics working together in that at that time.
And just because you were a Protestant, did that show some kind of a different colour, different, you know, he's
well, for instance, now, for instance, in some of the bigger businesses around, maybe in Enniskillen, there would be more Catholics working in them, and then in some of them it would be all Protestants working in them. But that changed after a while. But the same all over the north, you could see the difference there. Like,
I know, that there was a kind of a reluctance to hire Catholics to work in a Protestant company, maybe.
I remember one particular job, we were working for a timber mill, Richardson's in Leitrim, and they had bought timber in Northern Ireland, and it could hardly have been brought up through Enniskillen. But the Northern Ireland Forestry was supposed to be cutting the timber for them and they were just hauling it. So the mill owner arrived one day and he asked me, would we go down to Clare to cut this timber. He says the fellas that was cutting it before, one morning they were tied up in the forestry. The IRA came to shoot one and the fellas was cutting the trees. And he happened to not be there on that particular day, so they tied up the rest of them and headed off. And he was asking me, would we go down to cut this timber? So we did. We went down and cut the timber all right. And there was plenty of soldiers in the forestry. I suppose it took us about maybe 6 weeks. But there was a wee bit of fear there involved as well. The checkpoints on the way up and checkpoints going down on the way down. But that was one particular incident happened.
I know. And what about your employees? What was the name of the company you worked with?
Well, at the time, I was working for it was Richardson's in Newton Gore, but then with our own contracting company.
Okay.
And there would be some lads a wee bit afraid, all right.
And you would be targeted because you were working with the Protestant company, is this it?
Well, not so much in our area, no. No, not so much in our area.
Yeah, but you still found them good to work with, and they were, you know, you didn't find them too
No, difficult. Not if the work was done.
Yeah.
Well, we found there was some Protestant employers that were very good to the Catholic workers, and they didn't want. For instance, now the time of the hunger strikes, those Balcast would have sent a couple of lorries south for timber.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was noted by the Republican movement at the time. And sometime later, there was two lorries coming back from Longford area and outside of Mohill. The two lorries were stopped and burned. And the driver of one of the lorries would have been an uncle of mine or an uncle-in-law of mine.
Okay.
Which would have been a Republican background man. And he was put out of the lorry and put into the bog just beside where they were stopped, and the two lorries were burned.
My.
Because they had been up, they had been working one of the days of the hunger strike funeral. Now, I can't just remember what year that was, but that was, it was kind of strange at the time to think that the fella that actually took out of the lorry and burned his lorry,
yeah,
was actually one of the, he would have been a Catholic.
Go away.
Mm.
And this was carried out by the IRA there at the time.
That's right.
And was there, did your uncle feel that, you know, kind of, is this stupid? Is this,
well, I suppose at the time, you see, a lot of places was off. They took the day off when the funeral was going on, and Balcast wasn't going to sympathise with that, so they sent their lorries out. And that was the result of it.
Oh, I know, they were going
retaliation, so that's what went on, you know, the way.
Yeah. But that your uncle was tied up in that. Was he your father's brother, or was he?
No, he was married to my father's sister. He was married to my aunt.
Yeah.
He was married to my aunt. Yeah.
My goodness, yeah. They're so kind of, but living with this all your life, I mean, when you saw the peace process come along, I mean, did you feel that this will work, and or were you thinking, oh my goodness, this is so long out, because it took a long time to get the two sides together.
I don't know whether it feels kind of strange talking so much about Catholic and Protestant here, but at the end of the day, that was the troubles. It was the conflict between Catholics and Protestants. But I have to say that we'd have a lot of friends, Protestants, and there'd be some. The day that the peace process was announced, I remember to be driving down a road over in Ballycastle in County Mayo, where I was extracting timber for Balcast, which would be a Protestant company. And I had a Protestant young fella driving a machine for me. So in that industry, there was very little difference between Catholic and Protestant, but I thought this is good, you know. It was one of the best news, of course, we know that ever was when we got the peace process was announced. But it was strange then to go back and think it was in 72. Sure, it had went on and on and on and on and on for so many years, and it was widely known in 72 that, as far as I know, I stand corrected, that Gerry Adams had been talking to the British government about peace, and all this had been going on. But yet there's so much things happened after that could have been avoided. But It was a strange time. It's hard to know what will happen now. I can't. It's the people on the border now, with the memories they have, it'll be very hard to tolerate. I know I'm moving to a different subject now, but
No.
It'd be very, very hard to tolerate some fella coming out and stopping you in a lorry with a load of goods on. Now time is money. And there's so much electronic systems now. I can't imagine how anyone will go out and stop a lorry, a man with a full lorry load of goods going across the border, and hold him up for an hour. I'd be wary of that.
All right, yeah. But were people sceptical about the idea of peace? Because, as you say, there were a number of bombs that went off, in and around that time. And, and then you always had the IRA that didn't agree with the peace treaty. And as you scratch the surface, do you find that there is still that... hatred, bitterness?
Well, I suppose you have to be careful. There would be, that was always, even back for the last two generations, you have to try and bring all the people along, but yet, even going back to 1916, so you've seen the differences was there, those different families even split. There was one fell in a family, he was fighting against the other. And sure, now I'm sure there's that. But at the same time, you have to go down some route.
Okay. And do you, yeah.
It's probably, I should be saying to whoever's still opposed to the peace process, it's the lesser of two evils. Like, it has to be good. We can't go back to where we were.
Yeah,
we can't go back to where we were.
Okay, so the idea of going out and making secret passages over the border, I mean, those days are gone now.
I don't think so anyway. It's not going to, the new generation coming on now isn't going to want to know about it, or they wouldn't quite understand it. Don't think. The only, there'll be people it's in the past, hopefully. There will be always these bits and pieces coming up where there's hostility, as you can see the burning of the flags there the other day. Like, that's probably not doing any good.
Yeah, I know. Michael, it's fantastic. I'd love to, if you got a group of people together, I'd love to come and meet them and talk to them.
Well, you see, what I don't know, I'm only telling you, a spur of the moment, different things that happened. There's as many more incidents and many more, and sometimes funny stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And I'd like if you talk to somebody maybe 10 years older than me, and I can organise a group of people, maybe, that would talk to you again.
Well, that'd be fantastic.
Because it'd be pity that you go off and somebody hear what I said and they say, sure, look at those, far more stuff, or that's not, I'm not saying whatever, what I'm
no,
saying.
No, I'd like to represent your area and talk about
it. I think so,
and
it'd be a pity that this would happen and leaves one of them out of it.
Okay, well, no, it won't, promise. Yeah. Michael O'Reilly, thank you.